with us today. Momentarily, I'll introduce the governor to introduce his budget proposal for FY 2020. Today, we'll also be having the OMB director, Donna Ardwin, joining us to give some details and some top-line overview of the budget itself. And the governor is going to make a few remarks, introduce kind of top-line items, and then hand the mic over to the OMB director. Following this, we will have an additional informational meeting with members of the OMB team to go over some of the budget details. So I'd like to introduce the governor and OMB director Donna Ardwin, who will be here momentarily. There's a few packets in the back as well that we have to introduce kind of top-line items, a few administrative orders, as well as directives that the governor and his OMB director will be going over. And I'll be calling on reporters today. We're trying to keep it consolidated and limited, so just keep questions concise so we can get to everyone and get through this. And the governor will be with us shortly. Thank you.
Morning. So today we're rolling out our budget that has been developed over the last several months. And this is a budget, once again, that is going to be $1.6 billion different than this previous budget that was a placeholder on December 15th. Our budget was built from the bottom up. It was built in which the expenditures are going to equal revenues. This has been a long-standing problem in Alaska in terms of getting a budget and fiscal certainty that's in line with its revenues. And so we're going to do it, and we are determined that this is the year to fix this budget. A lot of hours went into it, a lot of thinking went into it, and we know that this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the journey for this budget. It goes into the hands of the legislature, and they will do their due diligence as the process provides for all of us. And so we look forward to a robust discussion on this budget. Again, we believe that Alaska's expenditures and revenues have been out of whack for some time. I ran, part of the platform that I ran on as a candidate was to fix this budget. We're going to fix this budget this year. Questions? Well, that was fast.
Would you like to hand over to Donna real quick to go over the details, and then we'll open it up for questions,
sir? OMB Director?
Thank you, Governor. For the last 6 years, Alaska's expenditures have exceeded its revenues, and the state's been draining its budget reserves. The fiscal year 19 budget was passed with a deficit. The fiscal year 20 budget proposed by the outgoing administration relied on a rosy revenue scenario, and for the fourth year in a row, did not pay Alaskans their full dividend. Governor Dunleavy's budget uses honest numbers and does not drain reserves nor take dividends away from Alaskans. The budget he faced upon taking office had a $1.6 billion deficit. The governor is determined to balance the budget and not repeat the past, where expenditures have exceeded revenues by over $16 billion since fiscal year 13. And while budget reserves were over $16 billion back in fiscal year 13, we're down to about $2 billion today. There have been consequences for Alaska's economy. Alaska's GDP has lagged the nation since 2012 and has continued falling while GDP is growing nationally. Alaska's non-farm payroll employment has lagged the nation since 2013 and continues falling while national employment is growing. And many people have been leaving Alaska more so than have been coming here since the state stopped balancing its budget. So to build the governor's budget, we started with the core principles that the governor's outlined. Expenditures must not exceed revenues. This budget's balanced. It does not call for new taxes. There are no tax increases for Alaskans in this budget. The budget maintains reserves. There's no proposed constitutional budget reserve draw on this budget, and the earnings reserve draw is limited to the statutory amount in the budget. The budget's built on core programs, including public safety, the only area where program area where we'll be spending more commensurate with the governor's crime bills. It's also based on the core programs, including management of our natural resources and preserving the maintenance of our transportation infrastructure. Next, we eliminated duplicative functions and inefficiencies, for example, by limiting government travel, capping exempt state employee salaries, and consolidating procurement and human resources in the Department of Administration. We're also consolidating investigators in a new investigative statewide unit in the Department of Law. We reviewed and revised programs with unsustainable spending that have come without corresponding positive results. Examples in our largest spending areas include Marine Highways, the University of Alaska, Alaska's education system, and Medicaid. For example, the cost to transport a vehicle on a state highway is about 2 cents per mile, where it's about $4.58 per mile on a ferry. Our investment in University of Alaska is much higher than other states and is eroded by low retention and graduation rates. As you know, Alaska's education system has the highest cost per student in the nation and the lowest amount of dollars going to instruction. And in Medicaid, Alaska's Medicaid expenditures per enrollee are highest in the country, and Alaska has the highest provider reimbursement rates in the country. Finally, we analyze state and local government alignment. We're proposing to repeal municipalities' credit against petroleum property taxes in order to appropriate these revenues to statewide programs, rather than to only those municipalities with oil, gas exploration, and transportation pipeline properties. On the other hand, for alcohol taxes, we're proposing to share these taxes with communities to address their local substance abuse treatment needs. Finally, there's no alternative or easy solution to fix our fiscal problems. Putting off the problem until next year won't make it go away. Budgetary reserves are down to a level where they should only be used for emergencies, and asking Alaskans to contribute more money should not be an option. We're here to solve our problems, not to ask Alaskans to do it for us.
Governor. Okay, we'd like to open up for some questions. Becky Bort.
Becky Bort, the Associated Press. I guess first, were legislators briefed on this before it got dropped?
We worked with, in terms of the entire process or before it was dropped? They were aware of the budget.
And the second, I'm wondering if we can get more details, particularly on Medicaid, education, the Marine Highway System, what specifically is being proposed in this budget?
And OMB is going to be presenting or having some time here a little later. So OMB will answer those questions here in a little while.
I'm trying to get a sense of the policy calls behind.
So the policy call was driven by a $1.6 billion deficit. It really was. And trying to fix this issue that's been bedeviling Alaska over the years. And so this budget is going to impact all Alaskans. It's too massive not to. And so it's going to touch all Alaskans no matter where they live and no matter what they do. It's going to be a different way of budgeting. And all Alaskans are going to have to pull together to make sure that we get through this process.
Andrew?
Andrew Pitchenman, Alaska Public Media and KTOO. With the changes to health care, will people who are currently undergoing treatment for cancer lose their medical coverage?
There are no proposals. Okay.
There are no proposals in the budget for that.
Greg?
Greg Knight, KIMY News of the North, Governor. One of the core tenets is that the budget is built on functions that impact a majority of Alaskans. The state has just more than 730,000 citizens, Anchorage 300,000 of them. So will your budget have any special focus on rural Alaska, i.e. areas outside of the population center?
We're building this budget to maintain core services in the area of education, public safety. We are making sure that the PFD stays whole because we believe that's a transfer, and management of our natural resources. These are areas that we believe affects all of Alaska, impacts all of Alaskans.
Sure.
Shauna Crandall, Alaska Education Update. Can you talk about how you determined what level of education funding would be adequate and what legislation you'll be proposing to change anything in the K-12 system?
So we are going to be having a longer discussion on education as we go through this spring and summer. We have to. But we'll be looking at proposing reductions in the BSA. Again, the core functions of education and public education will remain intact. There's no proposals for private education at this stage of the game. Don't anticipate any, but it's going to compel school districts to evaluate how they spend their money. As you know, spending is a local control issue. It's not controlled by the state. The funding is, but the impacts, again, two of our largest cost drivers are education and health and social services. The monies they're going to receive this year will be much less than they received last year. Hope that answers the question.
So any legislation for changes now?
Not roll out at this moment, but as we go in the spring and summer, we'll have discussions on legislative changes.
Governor, the executive branch has long been criticized for its salaries. And I think I heard something about a salary cap. You have a lot of extra deputy commissioners that weren't around last year. Your special advisors get paid more than you. So are you doing anything to address salaries at the administrative level, too?
And we'll continue to evaluate all aspects of government, including our offices. And as we move forward, I think you're going to see more and more reductions in that area.
Job losses if the budget is passed as is?
We have not run any figures on job losses. Do you want to speak to that?
The budget will show 625 PCN reduction full-time, a little over 700, including permanent and non-permanent, forgive me. We cannot evaluate how the university system will manage its challenge, but those are the numbers that you'll see in the budget.
I'm sorry, Sean, I thought you were referring to public job losses. And anyway.
James, go ahead.
Sure. James Brooks from the Anchorage Daily News. Governor, one thing that's not in the administrative orders is anything addressing Medicaid expansion. Will you be issuing an order repealing Medicaid expansion?
We're in this budget. We don't have anything that repeals Medicaid expansion, but you're talking about going forward, there may be conversations that we'll have with folks.
Alaska has the highest unemployment rate in the country. Do you think that families that lose jobs as a result of this budget should consider leaving the state?
That'll be their choice. Certainly we're trying to fix the budget so that we can put Alaska on a track that's going to grow the economy over time. Again, we believe that this instability is causing many of the problems we see in our private economy. We've got to get this thing fixed, I think, before we put Alaska on a track that's going to be a more secure future for Alaskans.
So real quick, we have a few reporters by phone. To the operator, I'd like to go to some of those reporters now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen on the phone, if you would like to ask a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4. Again, it's the 1 followed by the 4. One moment, please. We have a question from the line of Amanda Hanson. Please go ahead.
Governor, you talk about Alaskans coming together to work on this budget. Are you concerned, though, that there still is not a Speaker of the House yet, and that now this is the 30th day of the legislative session?
Certainly, it would be great if we can get, once the House decides, and this is a decision for the House, what they're going to look like, we'll get working on things and get down to business. This is all part of the process. We our Republican form of government is a messy process, just the way it is. But I have faith that the House will work this out sooner than later, and we'll get to work.
Okay. Other questions from on the line?
The next question is from the line of Elwood Bremer. Please go ahead.
Hello, Governor. It's Elwood Bremer with the Alaska Journal of Commerce. During your campaign, you emphasized that the state needed to get to about a $4.2 billion operating budget. What's changed since then to need to make these significant additional cuts?
So we had, I think there was an estimate that our revenue would be about $75, $76 a barrel. It's we've revised that estimate down to about $64 a barrel, and I think we're more in line in the neighborhood of where the revenue is. So it's really an effort to not exceed our revenues. Again, we want to try and maintain as much savings as we can in our CBR, which is about $2 billion. If we don't reduce this budget and we are still spending $1.6 billion, you can see that in a little over a year and a half, the CBR will be gone. If we don't reduce this budget downward, we then go into the earnings reserve. The SB 26 bill that was passed in the previous session, allowed for a draw of about $2.9 to $3 billion. At this rate of spend, within a few short years, we will eat through that allowance out of the ERA, including the dividend will be gone in just a few short years. So you can see the magnitude of what's happening here, and this is why this has to be fixed now. This is one of the reasons why we're also proposing constitutional amendments to not just have this as a temporary fix that disappears once the governor leaves or legislature leaves, but is a permanent fix put in place by the people of Alaska that hems in that operating budget. One of the questions that wasn't asked is, how does this impact going forward our ability to build Alaska through capital budgets? It really hurts our ability to build Alaska through capital budgets because most of our money is now being dedicated towards operating and ongoing government functions. So you can see it's a dilemma that we have to fix sooner than later.
And one more with any more on the line?
Yes,
right, repeat again.
Go ahead. I was just hoping to follow up on that. At what point does the budget matching revenues not work? You know, if oil prices fall, how do you reconcile that?
That's a problem. If oil prices fall, if our oil prices are somewhere in the 30s or 40s, or excuse me, 40s, 30s, we have to have another discussion on how we're going to deal with that shortfall. We're just going to have to deal with it at that point, and we'll be open to discussions on how to solve the issue.
All right, back into the room. We'll go with Sean.
Governor, have a balanced budget this year. If the legislature gives you back a budget that has a reduced dividend, but it is balanced, which do you prioritize?
I think it's very important that we look at the dividend as a transfer to the people, not an appropriation. The concept of an appropriation, from my perspective, came into the lexicon, the dialogue, just a couple years ago. Again, the dividend worked for decades. The dividend allows people to plan their own programs individually, to take care of their own personal needs without government intervention. And so I view the dividend as very important. I'm hoping that the legislature works with us on that, the issue of the dividend and the overall budget. So it's all going to be a part of a dialogue that's going to ensue here today, starting today.
For the Associated Press, does your budget call for privatization of any services?
Well, you saw where API, which was in bad shape for some time, when this administration came on board, we wanted to tackle that issue as soon as possible. We're going to be looking at areas that potentially could be privatized, and we'll talk to you folks as we go forward with that process when and if privatization discussions result in, you know, a definitive approach to things.
But that's not built in right now.
Privatization part, do you want to just...
We have proposals to look at privatization, for example, in the marine highway system. We're in the process of bringing on a marine consultant to talk about all of the options that are available. That may be one of them.
But nothing that comes into effect.
API.
Kevin? Of those 600-plus jobs that are proposed being cut, how many of those, if any, are positions that have been unfilled or possibly maybe be lost through attrition?
I don't have the numbers.
We wouldn't know that. Those are the PCNs for agencies. It's a limit to how many that they can hire. But occasionally they're in the process of filling a job.
Steve.
Governor, do you believe that this plan will help pull Alaska out of its recession, or is that not government's job?
I think it'll help. Your question was, will it help? I think it'll help because it'll provide stability going forward. Folks aren't going to want to stay in a state that is unstable, that they don't know from one moment to the next what the budget's going to be or if they're going to be taxed or if they're going to lose their PFD. Investors don't want to invest in a climate that is unstable. I think once we get this budget under control, we put a permanent fiscal plan in place, again, with the help of the people of Alaska through constitutional amendments. We put sideboards on future government spending. I think you're going to see investment in the state. We have a tremendous amount to offer to the world in terms of investment in Alaska. And I think the fiscal turmoil the last several years has held us back.
Molly Barnes, General Empire. What areas of investment do you see coming into after there's no state economy?
I see more natural resources. I mentioned in the state of state that we have a team that's going to market Alaska to the world to see what other industries we can get up to Alaska. We have areas, for example, in Southeast Alaska, since we're here, that have lower electrical rates that I think could attract more businesses. But I think the world wants to know that when they invest in Alaska, are we going to be predatory in the sense, are we going to tax them as soon as they hit the ground or their cement dries as they're putting in infrastructure? I think the investment world needs to know that Alaska is serious about attracting investment and is serious about controlling their budget and not letting the budget control Alaska. And that's what's happened here.
Great. Governor, regarding the reductions directive on the rural airports, if you could speak to someone right now in the interior or out in Aleutians that has a state-run airport, is there anything you can say that's going to maybe reassure them that essential air services won't be cut?
They're not state-run airports. They're small rural airports that the state is maintaining. We're talking about airports that serve five or less, in one case, one airplane.
We can't continue to be all things to all people. It's a $1.6 billion deficit.
Sean.
Does the budget contain any sale of state assets?
We're looking at doing, if you want to speak to that, Don, but we're looking at going through a process of inventorying all of our state assets. Buildings, land that we may not be using, equipment that we could disperse of.
Steve?
Governor, will you be contracting any corrections operations? Because we just learned that some inmates may be sent out of state.
We're looking at everything to deal with the $1.6 billion deficit, if you want to talk.
There is a proposal for the Department of Corrections to send 500 inmates out of state.
And what kind of savings is attached to that?
$12 million.
Andrew.
Do you think Alaskans knew they would see a budget like this when they voted in November?
I do. I think they expected a budget like this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be bold here for a moment. I think everybody in this room knows we have to get our fiscal house in order. And I think everybody in this room and in the state realizes that there's going to be sacrifices across the board, that this has gone on too long and that it's got to stop. Again, we'll be through our savings here in just a couple of years. We just had an earthquake on November 30th in Alaska. We have to make sure that we're preserving some of our reserves to deal with the frequent natural disasters here in Alaska. So, yes, I've talked to folks that there'll be folks that will walk through our door as well as legislators' doors that will advocate for their particular program. But I've already had some of those people say, we're going to advocate for our program, but we know that you have to do your job, and that's fix this issue.
We have time for just a few more. I'm going to take it back to the line. Is there anyone else on the line that has a question, operator?
We have a question from the line of Terry Munferdy. Please go ahead. Hi, Erin Munferdy with the Fairbanks Daily Newsreader. It looks like the University of Alaska is facing a cut of more than $155 million. Have university officials been briefed on this yet?
Yes, we briefed the university president, and he shared that afterward with his board.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the line here?
There are no other questions.
Let me finish up.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and the governor is going to go ahead and wrap up now. Thank you very much.
This is an ongoing issue for years. We all know it needs to be solved. As I mentioned, everyone in this room, everyone in the state knows this issue needs to be solved. It's not going to be easy, and that's why it's been kicked down the road. The can has been kicked down the road for some time. But we have to get it solved this year, and I'm determined to get it solved this year. We can't kick this down the road anymore. It's got to be solved. We have to preserve our savings. We have to recalibrate Alaska. We have to get back to our essential services. And we have to have a robust discussion, which I'm looking forward to, as to what are our needs versus our wants. What are the needs that impact the majority of Alaskans? And how do we want to pay for this going forward? So this is going to be the discussion over the next several months. I look forward to it. I believe Alaskans look forward to it. Look forward to working with the legislature on this issue. But it has to be fixed this year. And my administration is determined to fix this issue this year. So I want to thank you. We'll keep updating you. And I know that OMB is going to be answering some more questions. So thank you very much and have a great day.